Hello, and welcome to another episode of Point to Point. It's the show where I drive from one point to another and try to get to the point. Today's point. There's two points. One point, one impression. Two things to talk about. So the first one, Demon School is out. I haven't played it. I've been listening to a lot of people talk about it and have firmly realized that it's probably not a game for me. This is kind of how I've felt about tiptoeing into Persona a little bit. I'm curious about those games, but the several times I have tried, they have not worked. So I'm just waiting for the right time to dip into it. But the thing is, I've had this kind of rolling feeling in the kind of in my mind as this year has gone on, especially in the latter half, with games like Silk Song coming out, Hades 2, and you know, Demon School is one of the more recent one of these. And this is kind of spawning out of a conversation I was having in Discord the other day about Demon School and a particularly scathing review of it in Polygon. I don't know, like, I think we all get to have a little treat sometimes, just putting out a hit piece. They are quite fun to write. It is kind of nice to be a negative Nelly every once in a while. And we know how the internet works. That's how you get the clicks. But the thing that's kind of been circulating is there have been a lot of games this year that I know are going to be all over top lists this year. It's just going to be GOTY Central for a lot of the games that we are all hearing about. And you can kind of see it in the Game Awards as well. And I simply have no desire to play any of them. They're not games that I like. They're not the types of games that I enjoy. Like, as much as everyone hypes up Hades and Hades 2, Hades did not work for me. Just, like, not my kind of game. I'm not good at those games. And the story, as nice as it was to mix it all together, just, like, wasn't... It was drip-fed to the point where it was not engaging enough for me. And kind of the same thing about Silk Song. Like, I just do not care about punishing platformers in that kind of way. Like, punishing Souls, who knows what the genre mix of that game is. I like bounced on Hollow Knight pretty early on. I've been meaning to get back to it after my blasphemous summer, but I have no desire to hop into Silk Song. It's just not for me. Demon School is one of the latest games where I can look at that, I clock it immediately and say, okay, this is going for a Persona-style thing with, like, maybe some Into the Breach-style gameplay, and as much as I love Into the Breach, not my kind of game. Just everybody's looking at their phones today. Good God. Irony. So yeah, I don't know. The review kind of just, like, got under my craw a little bit, just because, like, man, like, it's good to have a hit piece out there. It's fun to take something down. It's fun to have, like, a good time and just write your feelings out. But the thing that has been kind of, the thing I've been thinking about is, like, why? Like, why did you, it sounds like from the beginning of that article that person, that writer, is just not in on this game. So why write the review? And, like, I think there are plenty of, like, structural material reasons why that person wrote a review of a video game that they don't like, and why their publication, that is, Reminder, owned by Valnet, probably wanted them to. But it does seem wild that, you know, you write that piece and most of the criticisms in it aren't, this is bad, buggy game that doesn't make any sense and is bad. It's very much, I do not like this game. which is fine. Like, that's okay. We can have those opinions. I've been known to not like a game, see previous 5 minutes. But it just seemed really wild that this person already went into the game knowing that it probably wasn't going to be their thing. Turns out it wasn't their thing, and now they've wrote a review about how it's not their thing. And I just kind of want to put this out in the air that it's real nice to not have to play games that you don't want to. I think that there's this rush all the time to play the new hotness or play what everyone is talking about. And right now, I have two games that I've been kind of putting a shitload of time into the past week or so that I've not heard anyone talk about, and it has been absolutely delightful. Because both of these games are, like, maximum my shit. Instead of trying to, like, hunt down and, like, be in the conversation about all of these different titles, it's just been good to find something that, you know, I can really stick into and have it be my thing. And so I read that Demon School review in Polygon, and I think, man, like, this person is absolutely capable of writing a good review. Like, take the tenor of the review, take the, like, the content of the review out and just, like, remove it from the fact that it is a scathing review of Demon School. Like, the person is capable of writing, you know? Like, they have written a capital G good review. It just is about a game that seemed to fill them with hate and disdain. And so I just wish that people had, like, more opportunity, more chance to, like, I want to know what that guy's review of a game that he actually likes or, like, has constructive things to say about it. Because really, at the end of the day, like, we've talked about this a lot, like, what is the point of a review and, like, why do them? But it just really feels like that was a grumpy review to be a grumpy review. And I think that that person's time could be way better well spent. So yeah, I it's weird because, like, I also read that and, like, just look at that and say, yes, yes, let the hate flow through you. Like, I want to read these mean reviews. But, like, that's not, that hasn't really been Polygon's vibe, I don't think. Like, it's not what I think of when I think of Polygon, so it's weird. But the second point that I want to talk about, speaking of getting stuck in on games that are actually just the maximum your shit, I've been playing two, and these are, like, early impressions of, well, not so early on one of them, of games that I've been playing that I've received review code for both of them. The first game is Duskpunk. Duskpunk is a citizen sleeper-like game. It's like a, is there a kitschy name for these? Like a visual dice novel or something? It's like a visual RPG. I don't know. It's not really a kinetic novel, but it's not really a visual novel either. It's weird. You roll dice, and then I guess every skill is connected to a character. You can level up your character, and you go to, like, different narrative locations and talk with people. And at each location, there is a skill check that you have to do. So you roll 2d6 plus your whatever your skill is, and you're trying to hit a certain threshold. And it has a negative consequence, a, like, mixed outcome, and then a full positive. And depending on which one of those you get, you are able to, like, succeed and do the thing that you want to do. You succeed, but at a cost, or you outright fail. It has the citizen sleeper thing where you are managing stress, health, and energy. I think it's a little bit more forgiving than at least the original citizen sleeper. I'm, like, 50 days into the game, I think, maybe a little bit over that. And I'm not having a whole lot of struggle dealing with, like, all of those things, and also money, and then also it's set in a Dishonored-style world that is in the middle of, like, the World War One, world-to-end-all worlds thing. It's a game about colonialism, it's a game about imperialism, it's a game about profiteering and literally turning dead people into energy. It is incredible. It is going to like basically be fist fighting Citizen Sleeper 2 for a spot on my game of the year list, and they're probably going to be right next to one another, because it is like, as much as I like Citizen Sleeper and the pros in Citizen Sleeper, I would say is probably a notch above Duskpunk. Just the vibes of Duskpunk is like my shit. Like, you are a veteran returned from the war accidentally, and basically the first bit of that game is trying to survive on the streets and like deal with PTSD from your time in the war, and like meeting all the different factions. And then at the point where I am in the game now, like, there is like their version of a Marxist leader who's like trying to overthrow the government. There's draft dodgers, there's a union strike, like there's so much shit going on, and just all of it is fascinating politics. It's a real good, when I talk about the site being like a gateway to new things, like I think what Duskpunk is doing that's really interesting is that you can like join up with some of these like, you know, gnarly gnarly factions, you know, like the drug dealers. You can hang out with them if you want, or the like their shadow broker equivalent. But this game is like really interesting in depicting what early 20th century union stuff looks like. It's a good depiction of what, you know, not in name, but what a lot of like Marxist philosophy is about, and like truly like seizing the means of production and like all of that stuff. It's a good gateway to say, like, I hope, I doubt that it will, but it'll be nice if this book ends and says, or if this game ends and says, here's some like additional reading. Like, do you like the Collaborists and what they stand for? Like, here's some shit you should look into. I think that would be nice. I doubt it, but it would be good. But yeah, Duskpunk is incredible. I think I have like 7.5-8 hours into it, and it just continues to get better as it goes. So definitely check that out. I think it came out last week, maybe. It's very good. I like it a lot. I'll have a review on that on the site in a little bit. The other game I've been playing that I kind of wanted to talk about is Last Caretaker. You might have heard me talk about this a bit on the Content Mill podcast. That is, actually, you haven't heard it. That comes out in like 2 days. But Last Caretaker is another one of those survival games, I guess. It's not multiplayer, which is surprising to me. I really thought that it would be, but, you know, so it goes. You play as the Last Caretaker, a robot whose job it is to basically create... It's Wall-E. You're Wall-E, and you have to make human embryos to send into space. The world is covered with an ocean. You get to drive a boat, and you stop at all of these little stations, and you have to deal with weird alien slimes. You craft things as you level up, you unlock more recipes. You've played one of these games before, probably, you know how it goes. The thing that I love about it, though, is that it is one of the core items that you need to craft constantly are fuel lines and electrical cables. Not for like crafting components, but literally to connect one device to another. You basically break down things, and then you turn those things into parts, and you can turn them into like a gun, or you could turn them into batteries, or you can turn them into like solar cells and wind farms and stuff like that. But everything that is power needs to be connected with power cables, which sounds very tedious, and it kind of is, and that's why I love it. It's like a cable management game in like a really fun way, and there's like all of these like big blue hoses snaking all around everywhere. They look like fire hose, basically. But you can kind of change the, you can do like to feed or to pull electricity or to equalize between, which is fun. You can do some really interesting stuff with that. And what I found myself doing, so in these games I normally just turtle up in one place and then like do little side missions as I go, and I haven't quite reached the the place at the end, the Lazarus complex where you make the humans and shoot them into space. I'm wondering if that is going to be a home base. But right now, I'm just on my boat that I've like outfitted a little bit with components as I go. And I'm just like tootling around to these little islands because right now I need gas. So I stopped at the like refilling station and now I've spent like 3 hours retrofitting and upgrading this refilling station so that I can like get enough diesel fuel for my boat to go to the next place. And it's just like a really good one of those, it's a really good one of those games where you have a big checklist to work through, but I really appreciate how, at least right now, and we'll see how this kind of develops, but right now it feels like I'm moving from one place to another and there is a new challenge to solve. Like it, you'd solve it similar ways, but like I had to activate a navigation beacon and that unlocked where I'm supposed to go. And that means that now I can, you know, I've used a bunch of fuel. I need to go to the refill space and then I can, you know, dismantle a bunch of stuff there, get the components I need to fix the diesel stop. And then I can build the diesel fuel pump. And then I can, you know, I have to get a bunch of organic to put it in the diesel fuel pump to make gas and use electricity. And it just has a lot of the like ticky-tacky stuff that is all connected. And it has like really, really good synergy with that stuff. And it's been like really fun just to like spend an afternoon just doing like cable management, just like getting resources and like barely interacting with the combat, barely interacting with like building anything. Like there's no habitat building so far that I've found. It's just kind of components. And I think that it has a really good loop where instead of doing the thing I normally do, which is I would stay at that first base for absolutely hours and just get all of the stuff I can, you know, level up enough to where I have like the medium batteries that I can load onto my ship and like have all of the things that I need so that I will like hoard all of the materials and never have to worry about them ever again. Like because everything is on these concrete bases, the impetus is to go out into the world and kind of leave stuff behind. Like I built an entire, you know, base of stuff at the first place that you wake up. And then as I got to the second beacon, it's like not difficult, but it's like a 5-minute boat journey on your very slow boat to get there. And it's like, oh, I'm never going to make this return trip again. Like I'm not coming back here unless I really need to. And there's nothing there that is like required yet. So it's been fascinating to just kind of play this game and kind of live my nomad life on this really big barge to try to like build out what this place looks like, how it can work for me, and have a little mobile base of operations, but only have what I need. Like I only have like small containers full of materials right now. So it's been fun. It's a good game. Last Caretaker, it's in early access right now. They have a pretty decent roadmap out. I'm hoping, I didn't take a good look at it. I'm hoping this is a multiplayer game. Because this is the kind of game that like really gets me excited to play with friends. Because it's like, you know, someone can be the cable management person, someone can be back at base like making the battery array and like organizing it to their heart's content. Another person can be out with the flamethrower getting the blobs, and then someone else can be like hooking up all of the cables and like making this current island be the one that has like all the solar arrays and everything ready to go to like complete the objective. It seems like it would be a really good survival multiplayer game. So I'm hoping that they build that in. I can kind of see why they haven't. Like it feels right to me that you build it for a single player audience and then go from there just for like, let's get the loop down. And I think they did. I think it's like really well done. I'm excited to see more of this. And like I said, I haven't even got to the part where it's like, it's main objective time, like time to build a rocket ship. I think I'm like level 8 and I think it goes up to maybe 15, maybe 20. And at each level you unlock more recipes. So I just have the electricity, diesel, and petrol. materials unlocked, like the ability to make them. And then the fabricator machine has 6 ports on it. So you can imagine the automation systems get a little bit crazy from there. So yeah, Last Caretaker, I really like it. Go check it out. It's in early access right now, but I think it's less than $20. You should check me on that. But it's a good one of those survival games if you like it. The combat's fine. So far, you've been able to hit everything with your crowbar or use your electricity pistol, and it's fine. It's not one of those games. It's a plop some stuff down to make some things happen. But it's good. It seems like it has learned a lot from games like this, and it's been interesting to play. I think I have like 8 hours in it now because I like cable management, it turns out. That's going to do it for today's episode. I have to go into this good old grocery store and get stuff for Thanksgiving because it's that time of year. If you like this stuff, let me know. If you end up playing any of these games, I would love to hear what you think. Or if there is like a good positive review of a game that you're like, man, that's really nice. Let me know too. Or actually, throw in the comments, what game aren't you playing this year because you know that it's not for you? I'm very curious because for me, it's Hades 2, it's Silk Song, it's now also Demon School. But there are a bunch this year that I've just decided, not for me, no thank you. So let me know down there. Thanks for hanging out. I gotta go get me a turkey, I guess. And we'll talk soon. See ya.